This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Good to be with you. It is 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday. We've been promising this all morning long. And it's great to finally meet in person, and I'm very anxious for our audience to meet him. He is the new president of the Houston Texans, Mike Tolman, joining us in studio. Mike, welcome to Houston.
Well, thank you very much. Could not be more excited to be here in Houston and with you guys this morning.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah,
it's a fun time.
It is. It's a fun time.
That's what I've heard.
It's a fun time. Yeah. Fun time on this show and a fun time to be a Texan fan. So how are things going so far in Houston? How are you getting acclimated so far?
Couldn't be better. Such a welcoming city overall. And then certainly the fan base. You and I were talking about our fan council a little bit before, but just such a passionate, welcoming fan base that's excited for the future. So couldn't have had a better first few weeks.
Yeah.
So you've what was the biggest thing, or I guess the multiple key things that attracted you to this position?
Great question. You know, there were multiple. I think at a macro level, the NFL is in such a good state. I think the positioning of the game, its position for growth, its position for globalization. So at a macro level, that was really exciting. I think the other main thing for me is ownership. You know, being in sports and entertainment for as long as I have, you look at what is a key factor in being successful, and you can't put enough weight on the type of owners you had. And so, you know, coming into this, I really had a chance certainly to understand and appreciate the McNair's legacy with Bob and Janice. And then spent some really good time with Cal and Hannah. And their focus in on the team and what the team can do for the community and their look forward and their huge aspirations on what all this can be. As I was sharing with somebody else, it just gave me goosebumps. It was like one of those things where you're like, whoa, this is lined up to be pretty special.
Yeah, Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joining us in studio. How crucial, I agree with everything you just said about ownership and the vibe of the team and everything. How crucial is it for somebody, you're going to be running the entire business side for this team, and you're doing it at a time now where the football side of it as well, actually, A, is ascending on the field, but it seems like everybody is aligned and in lockstep about that sort of culture that you're talking about throughout the building there. How key is the on-field part, especially for you, evaluating, is this the right job for me?
Yeah, no, it's a huge factor. And I love the fact that you use the word aligned. I think the alignment is really special. And if you look at great organizations, world-class organizations, they have great alignment on where they're headed. Certainly with Nick and Coach, CJ on the offensive side, just how the defense, all of them, the stout defense we have there, and really the culture overall, that was really important. It is a special, special time. So from a business side, you really have this great moment to make the most of. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's kind of why you get out of bed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Mike, most of our listeners know that when you were hired, it was pretty much immediately people started talking about, okay, this is probably something to do with stadium renovations and or possibly a new stadium. And they know that that's a topic and that there's something going on there. Where are you guys in the process in terms of figuring out whether you have to do a renovation or whether you might think about, you know, doing an entirely new stadium. What's the timeline on that when you would make a decision on that?
Well, just to set the table, we're 7 years out at this stage. And so we have started a process like you would for any major transformative opportunity that you have coming down the line. The key is to get out in front. And I was really enthused to understand all the great work that had already been done with our partners at the park, trying to understand how we could renovate. You know, our priority, our focus has been renovation, and it continues to be. We're open to all options. You have to consider all options. But where our energy continues to be is figuring out how do we make NRG Stadium a world-class stadium, the best competitive advantage for our team and the best experience for our fans. And so we're going through the process right now. You know, we've commissioned a number of studies. We have a number of experts helping us. Some of them still have to come to conclusion. And we have a lot of dialogue to continue on that front. So there's no hard and fast, you know, by, you know, April, you know, 15th, we need to be at this point. What I can say is we're in a great position for a runway to make sure we're making the right decision and the right approach.
You and I guess Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joining us in studio. And I guess maybe just to educate our audience on your background, because you've got an extensive background that involves a lot of stadium stuff. A little bit about your background there. And then also, what are some of those things that in the new age stadiums that are the touch points now for fans? Whereas, you know, when NRG Stadium was built, it was, you know, there were different criteria back in 2000 now. So a little in your background and maybe kind of what you're seeing moving forward in the stadium realm.
Yeah, no, I've been in the business for close to 25 years. You know, the first half of that part of my career was really on the team side. And so was lucky enough to work for a number of different teams in the NBA predominantly. Everyone from, you know, the Cavaliers to the Suns, the then Bobcats, for those of you who would follow the NBA back to the Charlotte days, then back to the Cavaliers, and then out to AEG, which is, you know, is a platform, a conglomerate of teams and assets. From there, had spent the last 11 years at a company called Legends, mm-hmm. which one of, you know, the real subject matter expert positionings that the company had was on stadium, new stadium builds and stadium renovations. And so spent a good number of hours, times, days, weeks on really special new builds like SoFi Stadium, Allegiant, had different engagements with certainly when we thought about the Niners building their first stadium. And then, you know, most recently with Highmark in Buffalo with the Buffalo Bills, but also spent a lot of time on renovations as well. I spent a good amount of my time in Madrid, Spain with Real Madrid. The Bernabeu just went through a $800 million renovation yeah. on that place. So, you know, I walk away feeling very fortunate to have a knowledge base of what are best practices. Where is the business going? Mm-hmm. Where is the fan experience going? And as I like to say, you know, sometimes equally as valuable, what are the missteps? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the missteps yeah. along the way that, you know, when you want to mitigate those risks? And so excited to bring those to the table for the Texans. And, you know, to the last part of your question, when it comes to do with experience, you know, that's the key when you really think about it. Now, there's a lot to do when you think about infrastructure, and certainly as you aptly pointed out, this building was built, you know, when we're done with it, over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a different thought process on how you use a building to support a great experience. And certainly the world has progressed and improved on how you structure your infrastructure for efficiencies and the ability to support a great fan experience, which at the end of the day is, how do you make sure the fans love coming here? You take out all the friction so it's easy to get here. It's easy to come early. You want to come early. It's easy to consume the game in the way that you want. And you want to stay late. And you want to do it for generations. And so all that infrastructure is really focused in on how do we support a great fan experience.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the things that intrigues me, just on the actual, the nuts and bolts side of things. I saw you with Mark and John talking about getting guys into the stadium earlier and enticing them to come into the games earlier. What do you do for that? What are the big things that you can do to make a stadium more accessible and more enticing to be there in your seats at opening kickoff?
Yeah, well, I think, one, just to put an exclamation point on how important that is, because this is about the fan experience, and the fan experience ties into a competitive advantage for the team on the field. You know, to have the stadium packed before opening kickoff, to have the Texans know that we have an advantage with our fan base from the moment we kick off, that's huge. And that's an important piece of why this all needs to your word, be aligned.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Well, one, you make ingress easier on just how it's set up. And I mean ingress not only on, you know, we think about the fan journey from the moment that they're pulling out of their house. What is that journey like to the moment that they're walking into the building? And really the key is, you know, certainly there's infrastructure things. How do you make areas larger to gather? How do you make it more comfortable to have seating before the actual game? How do you have offerings that people want to come for food and beverage or other entertainment? A lot of that has to do with the bones of the building. And how do you make these great places for people to congregate? And so the different ways you can do that is key, especially when you think about, hey, we have people who are coming because they're super fans. You know, where they want to congregate and how they want to congregate, that could be a little different than if you're coming with your family. And that could be a little different than if you're coming to entertain clients or, you know, give some sort of incentive to your top employees. Those are three very different uses for the experience, but three very important experiences that we want to be able to serve. We really want this to be the showcase for all those people for Houston.
Mike Tolman, Texans team president, joining us in studio. For you personally, you've had a chance to work with alongside some of the biggest names in ownership in sports. What's that been like for you, and how much do you kind of sponge from them to put together either your management style or kind of put, you know, your set of beliefs in how you attack things every day?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite topics. And full disclosure, I Forrest Gump my way into, you know, all those great leaders. It was nothing that
respect.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh gosh, I'm going to be really prescriptive and I know how to do this and I'm going to go after that. Certainly early in my career, I got a little smarter, I'd like to think, later in life.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there's a couple places I'll take that. You know, one is when you have great opportunities like a stadium development, renovation being the focus. But when you have these great opportunities, how do you take the care to optimize that situation? You know, and for instance, that's why you're at 7 years early, mm-hmm, and you're having those conversations. But the preparedness to go in and to clearly have your vision on what that wants to be. Those are things that certainly saw in Cal and Hannah, that, you know, they know who they are. They know who they want us to be. And they know how important Houston is and the fan base with clarity. And so clarity is a really big piece, I think, that I certainly took from different leaders and owners. The other piece I would say is the importance of, we call our teammates at the Texans, mm-hmm, throughout the organization, our teammates and the culture. I remember sitting with Cal and Hannah and asking, you know, there's so many great opportunities here. How do we prioritize them? You know, where should I be focused out of the gates? And they were emphatic on culture. Culture with the team and the organization and spending time with our people and our fans makes all the difference in the world. And so that, you know, that's where I've been the last 4 weeks and will be for a little while. But those were big takeaways for me.
Yeah.
Mike, explain this to me like I'm a radio host that doesn't have as good a grasp on this as he should. Just imagine that for a moment.
Let me get into that mindset first.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, or just a lot of our listeners, perhaps. Like, what is the exact relationship between the Texans and the rodeo and how all of that works together to kind of share that property?
Yeah, I mean, there are partners at NRG Park. You know, we have our partnership from the beginning of the stadium, and really the entire park opening has been something that certainly we cherish. You know, I think our partnership with the rodeo has been a very productive one. They are, you know, they're iconic. And we have a ton of admiration and respect for what they do. And we're happy to be partners with them. And so, you know, when we look at what the new setup is, certainly at NRG Stadium, they're a big part of that. And so we look at them as great partners that we're looking to march forward with.
But I mean, and that's where whenever you think about making renovations to the stadium or doing anything, you have to do it alongside and in conjunction with, I don't want to say the approval of, but I guess you got to be on the same, you got to be in agreement with the rodeo with anything that you want to do.
We have to be aligned. Yeah. Because, you know, it is their home 6 months of the year as well. And so when we look to make decisions, we need to have the same really vantage point on it.
Mike Tillman, Texans team president. All right, let's let the audience get to know you a little bit personally. We were talking about it off the air. I don't know if we mentioned it. You played football at Georgetown back in the day. So obviously you're a football fan. You played football. Are you a fan to the degree like maybe our listeners are, where you're looking forward to free agency next league just like they are, and the draft in April and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's one of the things I connect with our fans right out of the gates is the passion. You know, I love the sport. I love what the sport can do for you. Certainly what it did for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can imagine, when you start out, you're like, I want to be in the NFL. But being in the NFL, my mindset wasn't sitting in a suit.
Right.
The idea to be around it and play the game, it's something that I would be doing and thinking about and consuming if I wasn't in this chair.
Yeah.
The fact that I get to do that and be a part of the Texans, you know, for me, it is really special.
Yeah.
You know what? We've had a lot of people in the city. You know, Jeff Luno, who's the GM of the Astros, Daryl Morey, who is the GM of the Rockets, who got into sports or the sports industry in kind of an unconventional route. So when people ask me, how do they get into the industry? There's a million different answers. But I guess what's your advice to younger people, like some of our listeners that might want to get into the sports industry? What's the best way to get your foot in the door initially?
This is probably an unpopular response, and this is probably why I don't get invited to a lot of universities.
All right. First interview with Mike, we get an unpopular response. I like it.
You know, I'm not a big get your foot in the door person. I am a big believer in taking time to figure out what you love to do and then understanding what that looks like in the job world and then pinning your ears back and going after that. And the reason being is I think you could get into a career that you're not well equipped for, you will not enjoy, and people will not see the best of you. And so it's tough to like, hey, you know, that guy got in the door, he's terrible at what he does. So let me look at him for something else.
Seems like he hates it, but he always shows up on time at least.
But okay, I'd love to have him in my organization.
No, that's really good advice. Because you're right. Sometimes you get your foot in the door and you maybe have success in a role that isn't really part of your dream, and all of a sudden 8 years later you realize you're on a completely different path, that getting your foot in the door and being around isn't necessarily the way you want to start out. They'd be more specific in exactly what your goals are at the beginning.
That's right. I mean, inertia will, you know, as you know, next thing you know, you look up and it's 20 years later and mm-hmm. like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Well, and you came up through, like you mentioned, you know, you work for some teams. I mean, you're working in ticketing for teams. Mm-hmm. I saw a video of you giving a talk on ticketing when you were with the Cleveland Cavaliers back in 2009. This still exists on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at Omar, hoping we can get that taken down.
It was very good. It was good advice. Here's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah. I just had a couple more things I wanted to hit with. You were with the Cavs in 2009. This is the sports fan in me talking now. The decision with LeBron took place in 2010. Were you still with the Cavs when that took place?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ticketing.
I was running their sales service analytics business.
Can you put into words what that was like when that all went down?
It was surreal. That's the word. I remember I went to the training facility to watch with our GM, Chris Grant. And at that time, we were sitting and waiting. You know, the communication had gone silent at that point. Wow. So we kind of saw it live. Now Chris knew ahead of me, of course, but it was surreal kind of watching it on TV. Here's what I'll tell you though, is that was actually one of my fondest moments of the organization. I remember we got together the next day and we really talked about what our craft was. Like, take away the team, take away the personnel. Let's just talk about what our craft is. And that organization really rallied. You know, we had some of the highest metrics you could have on the revenue side that upcoming year, if you could believe that.
Yeah.
So it was a special time. It was a hard time, but it was a special time.
But I mean, everybody talks about, you know, adversity is really what often drives change or just, you know, internal evaluation or whatever. In sports, that's the ultimate adversity. You just lost the best player on the planet.
Yeah, I appreciate you walking me back down this
one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to know.
You're 1,000% right. Yeah. You know, when you get up every day and your focus is to be a pro's pro, and your focus in whatever you're doing is to be world class, there's only one way to test that.
You have a great answer anytime. Like, I always think about that. I tell my kids this. I'm like, no, in a job interview, you have to have a good answer for adversity. Tell me a time you came back from something. That's a great one right there.
No one wants the bandwagon the whole way.
Right, you know? Man. Right. Okay, my last one. Is it true that you had a pet alligator back
then? True story. His name was Mike.
You named him out?
Yeah, his name was Mike. I had three other roommates who were named Mike, so we figured the alligator should
serious?
Be Mike. That's all true.
Everybody was named Mike?
Everybody was named Mike.
Oh, my God. Taking messages.
How do you feel about iguanas?
Yeah. You know, I guess I was insecure. They just weren't tough enough. So yeah. We got to get something tougher.
Yeah, an alligator.
Tougher than an iguana?
Yeah. I think it is.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Are you thinking about it?
Sean and I were terrified of iguanas last week.
We were in Astros spring training, got chased around by an army of iguanas last week.
They're mean. Yeah. I don't blame you for running.
You have kids? Family? How's family acclimated to Houston?
Love Houston. Yeah. My wife, Lauren. I have a son, Ben, who's 17, and my daughter, Olivia. And so they couldn't be more excited. The time that they've spent in Houston, they're wrapping up school in Dallas, and mm-hmm. they'll be making their way down this summer.
That's great. All right, last thing before we get you out of here, because I saw the same interview that Seth did. You did with Mark and John. Really good conversation with those guys. At the very end, you were talking about walkout music or walk-up music. You're a big advocate of that, right?
I'm big into vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you have a special situation, you have an organization like the Texans, you should feel it with all the senses.
Yes.
So I love walk-up music.
Okay, you do. All right, so...
So how's that work? You've got walk-up music at the lobby there where people walk in the south entrance. Do employees get walk-in music?
Our teammates do. Yeah, so if you walk in... So go past that entrance and walk into the different parts of the office... And like to call it vibe.
Yeah.
We'll have vibe for you coming in. You're going to walk in and say...
Do you have facial recognition software that cues up a song for them? Are you pressing play on a boombox?
You know, we got a boombox. It's actually a CD player. Our one of our legal leads is our DJ.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay. But that's on the... I'm sure it's on the list, Seth. Stadium renovation... Facial recognition software for the vibes.
Yes.
I'll put it on the list of things that you've never done for me, Sean.
Yeah, that's true. All right? See, and I'm becoming a better person by having this conversation. Yeah. It's going to have... Well, I ask that because Nick Caserio, the general manager, comes on our show pretty frequently, and he demands that the WWE D-Generation X theme song plays as he is coming on to the show.
You know, I like
that.
He's
a big vibes guy
He is. He is. I think we connect on a lot of spaces. I think my walk-up music was Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same genre.
All right. Well, you're going to be on with us again down the road. So I got to know. You got to let us know. If Enter Sandman is what you want when you come on, that's what you'll have. But Mike, this is great, man. This is great to meet you. And I'm sure the audience is saying the same thing. Great to get to hear from you. And we're looking forward to obviously a ton of success on and off the field with you. Moving forward. So appreciate you coming in studio.
You guys are the best. I appreciate you having me.
Good stuff. Mike Tolman, Texans president, joining us here on Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. Up next, we'll circle back. QB carousel spinning right now. The crazy name that's the first domino to fall is wild. We will get to that coming up next. Stay there.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We just finished up with Mike Tolman, the Texans president. He was really good. That was a good conversation. Getting a lot of positive reaction on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. A lot of I like him, like what he sounds like. Sean got all dressed up for the prez with 4 exclamation points. I did. I wore a collared shirt today.
I changed shirts when I saw Sean this morning because I realized you're going to go all professional, are we?
Seth
all
had a t-shirt on. Now there were two funny things going. Well, there was one big funny thing going on in the room. at one point when I had to maneuver some stuff on the desk here, apparently one of the things I was maneuvering hit a button on the remote for the TV in studio.
Yeah.
And it went from sports being played on here to what appears to be some black and white Mexican movie with a bunch of guys on sombreros and things like that. And I didn't notice that until about 4 or 5 minutes into the interview. And so when Mike was leaving, I said, "Hey, Mike, just so you know, we usually have sports on in here. I think I accidentally hit a button." He goes, "Okay." He said, "I didn't know if you were testing me or not."
I'm just glad. I'm glad that if we had somebody from, if we had like some Hispanic ambassador of some sort or something, and then all of a sudden it switched to like, "Hey, probably like this, compadre, huh? Yeah. This
will make you feel more comfortable around a couple gringos like us.
You want a taquito?" Yeah.
"What the hell's this, quesadilla?"
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Didn't even need to ask.
The thing that I wanted to add, I would have spent the whole interview with him. Maybe this could be a good podcast. I'm really intrigued by the specific things you can do to a stadium to encourage people to be in there earlier and to make it faster.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing we've noticed about the stadium, because we do the pregame show right there in the south end zone or outside the south end zone. And there's a lot of people that want to get in there faster, but the lines, there tends to be a bottleneck when people are trying to rush in there. So I can see where the stadium design and the parking lot design and everything can make a big difference in that kind of stuff.
For sure.
The other part I'm intrigued by is just like how loud can you make a stadium?
Yes.
The things the sound engineers can do and everything to make it absurdly loud. Because even some of these open air stadiums get really, really loud. When you're stacked up, when the seats are just stacked up vertically.
Yeah.
I want it to be like that. I want it to be like a Coliseum environment, but like from a sci-fi movie.
Yes.
Where everybody's just all vertical right on top of the players.
That's what Kansas City is, and it's one of the loudest stadiums in football. Now they're talking about
moving out. That's an old stadium.
That's an old stadium. Yeah. So you're right. The shape and the structure of it matter. I think the other thing, too, that I liked in that conversation, if you missed it, we just had Texans president Mike Tomlin on the show in studio with us here for about 20 or 25 minutes. Good conversation. You can hear it on the Payne and Pendergast podcast or on the Odyssey app. You can rewind. I think in light of what was clearly either an AI-generated or wrongly aggregated story last week about the stadium by Newsweek, where they were talking about the Texans with the slant of them looking to move.
They were using the word now, relocate really, really loosely, and it led a lot of people to think that, the Texans are thinking about moving cities.
Yeah.
There's not a single chance in hell, as long as the McNairs are the owners, that they would ever consider leaving the Houston area.
Right.
So that's the big question is if, he's talking about it's a 7-year timeline, but to build a new stadium, I would imagine it's, you gotta start getting plans ready and everything 5 years out, to be generous. So I guess the question would be, if they were to leave NRG Park, where would it be?
Yeah. Well, and we can talk about that for sure. I do want to talk about that. But I think in terms of what Mike said, Seth, there's still probably people walking around this city. There's 6 million people. There's probably still people walking around thinking that Newsweek story had some sort of legs to it.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's the part. Newsweek has become just like a sham of what it once was.
Yep.
So because there was a Newsweek article that inaccurately said that they were considering relocating, or at least they used that term outside the classic sense of it.
Yes.
Did it led a lot of people to think, yeah, I got questions about it at spring training last week.
By Cam Smith's mom. Remember that?
That's right.
Smith's mom said, "Hey, did I see that the Texans are thinking of leaving?" when we met her.
Yeah.
She said that like 5 minutes into the conversation. We're like, no, it's this Newsweek story. But I think with Mike in that conversation we just had, Mike Tomlin, team president, is that he repeatedly said how much Cal and Hannah and the McNairs are in on Houston. And not that we needed that reinforcement, but if there's people walking around town right now thinking that the team might relocate because of the stadium stuff, and I'm one of them, I hear that and I feel a whole lot better that the new team president, the part of the reason he's here is because part of their ethos and their pitch was how much this team wants to continue to do for the city of Houston, you know?
Yeah, no, that's not, there's not even a sliver of a notion that that's what's going to happen, barring some unforeseen circumstances in the future.
Yeah.
But like the way it is as right now, I can't imagine. And I think the other part of it is that I do feel that they're genuinely in the exploratory phases of trying to figure out whether the renovation makes sense or economically, or if it is better to build a new stadium.
Yeah.
And then where would that stadium be in the Houston area? Those are things that are just a completely clean slate right now while they do their study.
Where would you want it? If they made Pope Zaza the head of infrastructure for the entire greater Houston metropolitan area, up to and including, say, an hour radius outside the city, where would you want to put it?
It seems like Katy comes up the most often. There's a part of me that I always feel like the South, I feel like south of Houston gets neglected.
Mm-hmm.
I think somewhere between Pearland and Galveston.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they get neglected. Every time we do a remote down there, people are like, how come you guys aren't here anymore? And we get in, it gets packed.
Yeah.
It gets packed in wherever we do the remotes. So there's a part of me just from, you know, as a longtime League City resident for all of, about 18 months.
Yep.
I feel like I need to give back to that area.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know if the traffic would be the best.
That's the big thing. That is literally the first thing I think of when I think of where it would go. Because I don't think real estate's a problem anywhere. I'm sure there's space out, depending on how far out you want to go.
There's still swaths of hundreds of acres inside the city limits in some places. Yeah.
To me, the one that feels like, and again, I don't leave inside the loop nearly as much as I used to, but I still do. The sense I get is that the Katy Freeway is well built for it, more so than, I'd say, I-45 north up to the Woodlands, or the Hardy Toll Road going up that way, or 288, even though they made a ton of changes to 288. Like, the Katy Freeway at its max is like 10 lanes wide. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
And so we use all of them. But on the weekends, it's a little bit different than, you know, on a weekday.
Yeah. Yep. Someone says, outside of Harris County, # not my taxes.
Yeah, I know, that's the fight for, I want to completely support the team, but not with my taxes.
Okay,
yes.
Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I feel like I did the Lord's work here. I definitely believe that article. Thank you for clarifying in all caps.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that article, so just, that article was so bad. That article cited articles that mentioned nothing about the Texans leaving.
Yeah.
And then you had all these aggregators putting headlines on that say Texans might leave Houston, all this other stuff, where if you just go and click on the links that they were citing, the source article said nothing about that. It was completely made out of thin air. Mm-hmm. And it was those things that happen anymore where you read an article from a blogger, you gotta go and do three layers of research to find out exactly what the hell they're talking about. And they were incredibly irresponsible in the way they presented it.
I don't think Mike had a problem reliving the LeBron thing. I think he was just joking around with that. I think when I brought up LeBron leaving while he was there in Cleveland.
He was telling about when he first got into ticketing, he was working on selling suites to selling Cleveland Cavaliers suites to people before LeBron. And
what you guys were talking about off the air?
Yeah. Well, because we were kind of talking about how sales and being in a sales position, as you said many times, it's one of the best things you can do to teach yourself overall skills in business and in life, because you get told no a lot.
Yep.
Sometimes rudely so. Yeah. And he got a whole lot of that when he was trying to sell corporate suites to the Cleveland Cavs.
Pre-LeBron Cavs? Oh, my God.
Remember that young woman that I was talking to who had her first job outside of college? Her job was to sell call-up season tickets, people who had canceled their season tickets previously.
My God. Yeah.
And she got an earful quite frequently.
I bet, with the Jets. Yeah. Oh, God. All right. We'll circle back. I teased the topic into this segment. We'll hit it next segment. The big domino that's going to fall in free agency. If someone had told you a year ago it would be this guy, you'd have been like, what the hell? We'll get to that and a whole lot more. We got a lot to get to still between now and the end of the show. Pettycast pushed back to 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock on Tuesday because we had Mike Toman on the show. So we'll do that at the top of the hour. Stay there.
Live from the Mocarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I have Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. If you missed it, we interviewed new Texans president Mike Toman at 8 o'clock. You can hear that on the Odyssey app, on the podcast, the rewind feature. Always good for that type of stuff. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. So, Seth, free agency, this time next week, free agency is going to be kicking, man. We'll be in day two of the illegal tampering and legal tampering. Yeah. Legal tampering. The legal tampering and agree to deal phase.
Illegal tampering is the combine, according to Nick Caserio.
Or anything happening right now.
Nick threw some mild shade, I think, at people that get agree to deals at the combine.
Yeah.
Because I think the Texans try to abide by. I think people always have this notion that it's just freewheeling in the Wild West and everything. I think a lot of teams try to be pretty careful about the tampering stuff because the penalty is huge. You get fined a first-round pick at times, like the Dolphins did a few years ago for tampering with Tom Brady. So I think the Texans are probably one of the teams that try to abide by that. And but all that to say that roundabout next, not this coming Monday, but the Monday after this coming Monday, we'll start to get a lot of reports of deals that have been agreed to.
Yeah, this, you know, you and I went through the exercise at 7 o'clock of kind of going through the top names at each of the positions. And look, it's going to be fun because it's a land rush. Like, it's not as though because the names aren't as big, teams aren't going to be as crazy as they normally will. They've got cap space. They've got desperation, some of them, and they're going to go spend. I don't know if the Texans, I can almost assure you the Texans won't be one of those teams out in front of everybody else running to plant flags in players like it's a land rush. But it's still going to be really fun. But in going through the names, man, it doesn't stack up to last year where we had all that star power at running back.
Right.
We had all that star power at edge rusher, which the Texans, you know, the Texans were both on the importing and exporting side with John Gernard going to Minnesota and with Danielle Hunter coming here. And there were other big, Christian Wilkins was a huge name that went. Sam Darnold might be the domino that some of these teams are waiting to fall, you know?
As far as big names and what have you, I do think, too, if I look at all the different position groups, the position group of need for the Texans that I think it makes a lot of sense that the Texans maybe make a day two signing, not one of the huge deals necessarily, but is it offensive guard? I think there are a lot of viable starting offensive guards out there that would be upgrades for the Texans. And if I had to handicap it right now in terms of, okay, who do the Texans address in free agency? And then because of that, who do they go after in the draft? It feels most likely to me right now that they go after a guard in free agency, maybe a veteran center of some sort, and then they can focus on wide receiver in the draft and possibly interior defensive line in the draft.
If you had to ask me, like, You can only fill these positions, nameless and faceless. You can only fill these positions, these needs, through either the draft or free agency. I would say interior offensive line free agency. I would say wide receiver draft. I would say running back draft. I think running back is a need for this team right now. Not at the starter level. Joe Mixon's the starter. But I think we can't be, Seth, where Dario Gumbawale, Joe Mixon misstepping, like we're one misstep away from Dario Gumbawale getting 15 touches in a game.
Well,
it can't be.
And that's where, again, though, I wonder exactly how they feel about Damian Pierce with a different offensive coordinator. I mean, Pep Hamilton was awesome for Damian Pierce. Nick Caserio wasn't so hot for Damian. If that is indeed the reason or the cause that Damian Pierce fell off so dramatically, I think Caserio genuinely sees more upside in Damian Pierce, and I wonder if that might have been one of the things that led to the departure of Bobby Slowick, partly, amongst other things, but maybe that was one of the little check boxes. Like, wait a second, we've seen the very good side of Damian Pierce a couple times this year. Mm-hmm. Why have we not been able to get that out of him more consistently? Why are you making it this hard to use what we think is a good asset?
The quarterback storylines are interesting. Where will Sam Darnold land? I think he's the big quarterback domino to fall. We're getting text message, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. Where does Aaron Rodgers go, and does he have anything left? I think that's domino number two is Aaron Rodgers, and the Giants are the big rumor, but I don't know, man. I will see.
Look, Aaron Rodgers is, there's just so many outliers there with Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be 41 years old. He's still coming off of an Achilles tendon surgery, which could be a positive or a minus, because this will be a year and a half removed, or two years removed, from his Achilles tendon injury. Mm-hmm. And that even though he's 41 years old, you might see a more athletic and spry version of Aaron Rodgers. The biggest question by far for Aaron Rodgers is going to be that teams can look and see what happened in New York, where Rodgers, A, seemingly hand-selected a bad offensive coordinator, aging or mediocre veteran wide receivers to bring onto the team. It looked like he was just trying to keep the band together as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But then that also, Aaron Rodgers himself, like Aaron Rodgers, the offensive coordinator, he prefers kind of an antiquated style of football. One of the reasons Aaron Rodgers likes old wide receivers is he likes to just be able to line them up where they are. We don't need a whole lot of pre-snap motion, and I've got a sixth sense with Randall Cobb, and I'm just going to feed him the ball. There's not a lot of teams that are going to look at that and think, okay, well, we need him to change his stripes. This has got to be a little bit more of a humble Aaron Rodgers, or a guy that doesn't want to take control of the situation because he doesn't know what he's doing as a GM.
Yep.
And so that's something that comes with meetings and conversations. I'm really curious to see how all that goes.
There are, by my count, Seth, there are six teams that are part of this musical chairs at quarterback with starting quarterbacks right now. There's some teams with bad starting quarterbacks or young starting quarterbacks that aren't moving on from them. So I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers isn't better than some of those guys, but to me, the top three teams in the draft are all in the quarterback market. Titans, Browns, Giants are all in the market for starting quarterbacks, and then the Raiders, the Jets, and the Steelers. I think you could, for Aaron Rodgers, obviously cross off the Jets. I think you can cross off the Steelers because it sounds like they're going to pick between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, like it's the last episode of The Bachelor, and they're going to hand one of them a rose and say, you're the starting quarterback for our team. Which leaves the Titans, Browns, Giants, and Raiders for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, this is where I think I differ in the philosophy a lot of these teams, mm-hmm. and I don't understand exactly how we've gotten to this point. Because mm-hmm. if you think about this, Sean, quarterbacks get taken in the first round, and the prevailing thought these days is, well, you drafted him high in the first round because, and he's got to start because you don't draft him high in the first round unless he's ready to start. And then what happens to the vast majority of quarterbacks taken in the first round? They fail. So somehow, though, the standard wisdom in the operating procedure is, we got to do it this way. We got to do it this way. Okay, but they keep failing when we do it this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to do it this way. No, the fact of the matter is, back in the day, yes, you drafted a quarterback in the top five because they were genuinely great prospects, and usually they had demonstrated that they were capable of starting day one.
Yep.
That's not the way it operates anymore. There's a lot of guys getting drafted in the first half of the first round that in previous generations would have been second or third round draft picks. If the Titans, this would actually make me a little bit nervous, if the Titans drafted Cam, but then also said, but Aaron Rodgers is the starter this year. Mm. And that's the way we're going to operate. Mm-hmm. We're going to give him a year just like Pat Mahomes got to learn and operate and learn how to be an NFL quarterback. Then the Titans could be a lot scarier all of a sudden. I just realized that Aaron Rodgers' stock in my own brain just went up by my sphincter meter. I always try to check myself for my blind spots that way. Like, wait a second, what are you going to feel if you're going against
this
guy?
How's my sphincter doing? Yes.
Last time I saw the Texans go against Aaron Rodgers, he looked pretty. He looked like an All-Pro in the second half.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
So he tore up a really good Texans defense.
Well, that would make those Titans games super interesting, you know, if it's Aaron Rodgers or that scenario, draft a quarterback with the number one pick, but bring in Aaron Rodgers.
The Colts should have done with Anthony Richardson.
Yes, absolutely.
They named him a starter freakishly early, and it felt like it was because that's what the owner wanted.
Yeah.
Where I don't think anybody in the building really thought he was ready to be an NFL quarterback, and he demonstrated it for them very clearly multiple times last year.
Silly, no doubt. All right, so a little quarterback talk, a little free agency talk. Man, I can't wait for it to get here next week. Hey, Journey is coming to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Be listening in the 9 o'clock hour. Not now. Don't start calling now. Ben will have your head if you start calling right now, all right? We'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour. Journey tickets, Friday, March the 14th. It's a Rodeo Ticket Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. All right, no petty cast at 8 o'clock this morning because we had Mike Toman in studio. But we will have a pedicab. Sean and Seth cannot go. I'm going third person. Sean and Seth cannot go a full Tuesday without getting ultra petty.
We got to get it out of our system.
Got to get it out of our system.
We're insufferable in normal society if we don't.
That's right. So we'll do the pedicast. We got some good petties. And send yours in to the Jim Adler, to the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. We'll do the pedicast coming up next.